Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, we all make mistakes with money. Yes, even financial professionals have stories they'd rather not repeat. But what really matters is what you do next when you make a mistake or you have a setback. So today we're talking about how to recover from financial missteps without compounding the damage and maybe even come out on the other side strong.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Cruising Through Retirement is what you've stumbled upon. Kevin Brooker is here. Kevin, independent fiduciary advisor with more than 30 years helping folks get to and through retirement. And boy, right now, Kevin, it's a struggle, huh?
Oh, it is. Oh,
by the way, hi, how are you? Good.
Hey, you know what, Steve? Thank you very much, Steve. I am very good. It is great to be here, guys. I hope you've enjoyed the past shows. And, I do my best to, provide some useful information. And the problem, if you're a stock market investor, I've been doing this 35 years, and I've said a few times that I find this to be one of the most difficult markets I've ever invested in.
Well, I've never invested a day in my life, and it seems difficult.
Well, there you go. And you know what? I think I used to hate it when people say this time is different, and I'm still not sure how I feel about it. But I do think this time is different. I think we've got somebody in the White House that's trying to rewrite all the rules, and they're changing them every day, if not a couple times within the day. And from a business owner perspective, that's virtually impossible to plan for. You know, that's why companies are pulling their guidance, their earnings guidance for the upcoming quarters, because they're basically saying, I sure as hell don't know. You tell me what's going to happen with tariffs, and I can give you an estimate. But until we know what's going to happen, we have no idea what we're going to make. And that's literally what the companies are doing because of the uncertainty. So in my view, this market has rallied back very, very well, surprisingly well to me. I did not expect this much of a rally back this fast before we have answers, before we even have one signed, officially done trade deal, which we still don't have. So in my opinion, I think we're subject to a lot of volatility over the next few months. I think the president, in all likelihood, he's going to go back and forth. He's going to get pissed off at somebody again. You all know it's true. And he's going to throw another temper tantrum, which you know that's true too. So I think something like that will happen, send the market reeling back down again. And the question is where we find support. So the point that I'm getting at is this is a good time to lower your risk. If you have any risk aversion at all, if you felt any, more anxiety than perhaps you were comfortable with when the market sold off, now, as we're back within a couple percentage points of all-time highs, which is where we are, the S&P is back over 6,000, all right? And guys, we still have a lot of issues to figure out, right? We still don't know where the tariffs are going to come at. We hear talks that the deals are done, but none of them have been signed. And the deadline is fast approaching, less than a month away. And now they announce they're going to start sending out letters where they're not negotiating. They're saying, this is what your rate is going to be in whatever country they're sending it to. And basically saying, take it or leave it. So I think there's more turbulence to come, which is why I still have a good amount of cash on the sideline. in my personal accounts. For long-term investors, don't get me wrong, I think long-term investors should dollar cost average, meaning you put money in the market every time you get paid, right? Whether that's weekly or monthly, just put money in every time you get paid and continue to do that, because over time, we know over long periods of time, 20 years and more, the market has always made money. So this is a short-term issue. I think over the next, let's say, 3 months is what I'm looking for to be possibly a difficult period of time as we come to terms with these trade agreements, as we find out if they're truly going to roll back regulations, as we get more clarity on whether this big ugly bill is actually going to become law. And I think they're going to push it through because it's politics. They don't give a damn about the dollar, in my view. And that's why I've been building my positions in Bitcoin and gold, because I believe the debt has gone beyond worrisome. The deficits are beyond worrisome. And you can see it if you look at foreign central banks, guys. They're lowering their reserves of U.S. dollars. They're adding to gold, and some of them are buying Bitcoin. And you're seeing it with what we're calling corporate treasuries, meaning companies. Everybody should have by now heard of MicroStrategy, which is now called Strategy, right?
Okay, yeah.
They're the single largest holder of Bitcoin in the world. In the world.
Really?
They own the most, all right? And their average cost is 70 grand. And they've already committed, I believe they've already committed to invest billions and billions more. I can't remember the exact number. But they're already planning to commit billions more into Bitcoin through the next through 2027. And I'm seeing more and more companies come out and putting their what we're calling company reserves. For instance, okay, GameStop, right? It's a meme stock, right?
Yep,
but GameStop is now mimicking what Strategy is doing with using some of their cash to buy Bitcoin. Other corporate treasurers are doing it too, and at last count, I believe there's over 100 companies now that are purchasing Bitcoin. At the same time, individual states, such as Arizona, has passed a law for our state to incorporate Bitcoin into its state reserve fund.
Wow.
So to me, it looks like there's more and more institutional acceptance of Bitcoin, and I believe it's because of the ETFs that started last year that gave it more credibility, right? And I think the reason why so many people earlier on made so much money with it is because there was this non-acceptance in the traditional financial circles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times have you heard Jamie Dimon say he wouldn't touch Bitcoin?
Don't do it.
Right? Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett. They all said they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, right? Well, guys, this is the reality. 10 years ago last week, if you put $50,000 into Bitcoin, today you'd have $23 million.
Whoa.
That's a fact. Look it up. Do the research. That's a fact. And I'm just saying from 10 years ago. I'm not saying you bought it at the very beginning. I'm saying you bought it in early June 2015. Look it up. You can look it up on your computer in less than 5 minutes, right?
Sure.
50 grand turned into $23 million, okay? Now, nobody knows where it's going to go in the future, and I want to say right now, you have to consider it speculative. I've said it many times that Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies are very speculative, and they are, and they continue to be. So you have to realize Bitcoin, I believe, has hit new highs at least 4 times and then proceeded to drop by 50%. 4 times it's done this.
Wow, okay. All right. I mean, I remember 2 specifically, but okay, 4 times. Wow.
4 times, and I believe 7 or 8 times it's hit new highs and dropped by at least 25%.
Oh, wow.
So it has a history of being very volatile, much more volatile than anything else out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers are the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. Bitcoin is the number one performing asset. In the last year, it's up almost 60%. Look at it over the last 3 years. Okay, 5 years, I can tell you it's been better than a 10-bagger. It's up almost 1,100% in 5 years, okay? And in 10 years, as I told you a minute ago, 50 grand to 23 million. So my opinion is that everybody now, if you have investments and you have discretionary cash that you can afford to lose, I think everybody should have a piece. And what that piece is has to do with your individual profile, your risk tolerance, and many, many other factors. I can't tell. There's no universal number for everybody, right?
Oh, of course. No, of course not. Yeah, well, let me ask you this. So if I'm thinking about that, you mentioned ETFs. Is that the direction somebody should go, do you think?
That's where I've got all mine. All mine is an ETF, because I don't care what they tell you about cold storage and having your own individual wallet and all these things. They're still getting hacked. There was a ton of Bitcoin and digital currency stolen last year. All right? That's happening to the actual cryptocurrency. I'm not suggesting you buy the actual crypto. I'm glad you brought that up, Steve. I'm suggesting you buy the ETF, okay? I own IBIT, which is the biggest one. That's the iShares Bitcoin Trust. That ETF has raised more money in a shorter period of time than any exchange-traded fund in history. In history.
EBIT, is that what it is?
IBIT.
IBIT. Okay.
IBIT. Another one is Fidelity's Bitcoin. That's the second biggest one. That is Fidelity, so it's F like Fidelity, BTC, okay? FBTC. I own that one, I own IBIT, and I own BTC, which is the Grayscale Mini Trust, okay? That one is just BTC. I own all three of those, and I own them for some of my clients, okay? And I just bought more Bitcoin here, where it is right now, all right? And I know, just like I said, it could get cut in half. It could go to zero, guys. It could go to zero. I'm looking at it, and I'm telling myself I'm not going to sell any of it until at least the calendar year 2030. That's my plan. And if it drops, I'm going to buy more. And I'm building a significant position. But that's for my situation, which is not the same as everybody else, right?
Sure, understood. Well, let me ask you this. So are there tax implications in dealing with the Bitcoin ETF? In other words, come tax filing time, is there something I'm going to have to do? Will I be told something?
Yeah, okay. Now, let me be clear on this. I am not I'm not legally a tax preparer.
No,
I'm not a
understood.
Tax expert or
CPA. I was just asking in passing.
All right. But being a financial advisor, I do have a lot of experience with taxes, okay? My understanding is that it's taxed just like any other investment, all right? So the ETF is going to be taxed just like another ETF. So if you buy an ETF on the S&P 500, if you sell it in less than a year, then you're going to pay short-term capital gains taxes, which means you're paying taxes at your income tax rate if it's held less than 1 year. If you hold it more than a year, then you're subject to capital gains taxes. And by the way, capital gains taxes are zero, I believe up to like 80 grand in joint income. Zero, okay? So take a look at that. If you don't have a significant income, I can make an argument it makes more sense to invest in a regular cash account than it does in a retirement account, all right? Now, I always favor Roth IRAs, and I favor the health savings accounts, which are tax-free accounts. That's where I have my Bitcoin, guys, in my tax-free accounts. And if you have a tax-free account, that's where I'd suggest you do it, too. But again, it's not for a short-term trade. I believe that it is very, very, very unlikely that any politician from either side of the aisle, from either party, from any party, is going to actually lower our deficits or our debt as a nation.
Well, it doesn't seem they can.
Oh, well, they can. They just don't want to.
Well, good point.
They don't want to. Trump wants to buy everybody's vote, for crying out loud. He wants to buy everybody's vote. Here, you get a tax cut. 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 Like Oprah giving away the cars, right? He wants to cut tax on overtime, right? No tax on Social Security, which is going to make Social Security go broke sooner, by the way. All right? No tax on tips. All of these things are going to create bigger debts and bigger deficits. We're running the biggest deficit we've ever run in history right now under this administration. That's why the billionaires like Jamie Dimon and Ray Dalio and all kinds of other guys are coming out saying this is not looking good. And they're talking about the bond market because we're $36 trillion in debt right now. This package, this big ugly bill, is going to add another $3 trillion or so over the next several years. The problem, guys, that we don't know, and this is something you need to be aware of, the current administration is using the argument that the tariffs are going to offset the cost of the tax cuts by assuming that the tariffs are going to remain in place continually, consistently, that they're not going to go away, right? But that's no guarantee because they have to be passed by Congress. As I understand it, the tariffs are a short-term ability of the president, but I don't believe he can put them in place for long-term. I don't know what the term is, but that's to me where the big question mark is. That's why I think we're going to wind up at $40 trillion in debt before this administration is done, and we're paying higher interest on that than we did before because interest rates have gone higher. So it's going to take away the ability. Just like if you do, you guys, does everybody realize that as people ask for another tax cut or they say they want to, you know, keep our taxes low and all this crap, do y'all realize that we're just using one credit card to pay for another credit card? And when all of our credit cards are maxed out, we go and apply for another credit card? That's what we're doing right now. They want to raise the debt limit by $5 trillion. The biggest increase in debt in history under Republican administration. So I don't know what the hell is going on, but that's why I'm buying gold and that's why I'm buying Bitcoin. I believe they're going to debase the U.S. dollar. I believe it's less respected on the global stage. And I think that's also evidenced by foreign central banks decreasing their holdings of the U.S. dollar. So I'm following the institutional money here, and I believe it could make sense for everybody to do the same thing. But you need to research it, make sure it's appropriate for your own situation, to make sure it's suitable for you, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm only suggesting that you consider it. It's up to you to make that decision based on your risk tolerance, your objectives, your time frame, things like that.
Well, if a person was interested, it would give you a call or visit you on the website, so have a meeting, and help us through that. I mean, you're happy
you
to
go.
Do that, right?
Oh, that's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I do.
Let me give a number, 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. And the website is silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com. You can connect with Kevin on the homepage. You can set your own appointment. And again, to me, you know, the passion in your voice, Kevin, it's very genuine to me. It's very real.
Oh, my, you know what, Stephen? And I don't know, for better or for worse, guys, this is something that's very passionate to me. I dread what I feel like this country is going to become over the next few decades if we keep going down this financial path. We're on the path to fiscal ruin because we don't have we don't have politicians that are responsible. All they give a damn about is getting reelected. All they care about is their perception. They don't give a damn about, they don't care about fixing any real problems. They haven't said one word about fixing Social Security or Medicare. With all this talk about waste, fraud, and abuse, why haven't they said anything about Medicare's waste, fraud, and abuse? It's outrageous. So I'm just trying. I told myself maybe I don't like what the administration is doing, but I can sure as hell try to profit from it. All right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I'm doing. Look at gold. It's up 45% in the last year, guys. It's 4x the return of the S&P 500. Okay? And I've never bought gold until recently. Never. But I do believe now it's got a good. I think it's going to 4,000 from, I don't know, 3,300 or so. In the next year. So, and that's based on estimates from Wall Street. That's not me pulling a number out of the air. So I'm using it as a hedge against a weak dollar. And I also think as more and more institutions adopt crypto, I think they're going to go to Bitcoin because it's the most widely known, it's the largest, and it has the most assets behind it already. And they're continuing to work on more regulation. That's the other key part of it. This administration, they are in favor of it. Now, you know the family in the White House, they own a bunch of Bitcoin. The sons of the president own a bunch of Bitcoin. They started a Bitcoin company. So, you know what? I don't have to like them. Maybe I can make some money alongside of them, though.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's how I'm looking at this point. You know, if you can't beat them, join them, they say. So in this one instance, I'm doing that. I've been in Bitcoin for a while. My wife pointed out to me, yeah, we owned that years ago. Why didn't you keep it?
Yeah, thanks, honey.
I said, yeah, thanks, honey. I really wish I did. So anyway, that's my spiel on what's happening right now. So, guys, take a look at it. Give me a call. I'll be happy to take you through it. And like Steve mentioned, you can go to my website, the bottom right corner of the homepage of my website, silverleaffinancial.com. There's a little box where it's a link directly to my calendar, and you can schedule just a brief 10 or 15-minute phone call, which is how I like to start off. Because I know in a brief phone call, we can both tell whether we're going to hit it off and whether we might be a good fit and whether you'd like to take it to a face-to-face appointment where we go in more depth. That's why I do it that way, because I don't want to waste your time or mine. All right? I want to save everybody as much time as possible because I think it's important that when you find somebody, you do have a good fit with your advisor so you can stay with them for a long period of time and build a solid relationship.
Sure.
So that's what I'm looking for. So going back, we started off talking about, you know, we all make mistakes.
Right. You just explained one about yourself, Bitcoin. should have kept it, right?
Yes, I did. No, that is 100% true. And
but it didn't derail you. That's what I'm saying.
No, it did not derail me, and I do still own it, and I have made money with it since I've been back in it over the course of the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm you know, we all make mistakes, right?
Just of course we do. Yeah.
Right, just like sports. It doesn't matter. You the best, you know, the best baseball. What, the guys in the Hall of Fame? They probably batted less than 400, right?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or maybe right at 400, but that means they missed 60% of the time, right? That means only 40% of the time they got on base. And if you do that, you will be in the Hall of Fame. And so there's a lot of stats out there. Athletes, the best athletes in the world are not perfect. And that's the same thing with the best investors. You know, we all make mistakes. Warren Buffett made mistakes. But the guy still managed his Steve, did you see, quick side note, if you saw the investment returns that Warren Buffett had for 60 years when he announced his retirement, he said he's going to retire at the end of this year. It's been 60 years he's been running Berkshire. The compound annual rate of return is over 20% for 60 years.
Wow.
Okay. If you compare that to the S&P 500, it crushed it. He crushed it. But not just for one day or one year or 5 years or 10 years, for 60 years. It's absolutely amazing. And so I think it's important to try to learn from these folks that are so, you know, incredibly good at what they do, right? And so I'm trying to apply what I'm getting at is I'm applying Buffett's philosophy to crypto and to gold. In other words, buy it, hold it, forget about it. Don't worry about the short term price fluctuations. Put it away. Okay? And so that's what I'm doing. Standard Charter, for the record, on Bitcoin. Standard Charter is forecasting a $500,000 price target, a 5-bag return in the next 4 years. Okay?
Wow.
Nobody knows if that's going to be accurate, but you've got people like Michael Saylor. I think he's calling for $3 million in 10 years. Kathy Wood, that runs the ARK funds, is also calling for a multi-million-dollar figure on Bitcoin. And so who knows? But there's a lot of talk, and I do see a lot more institutional acceptance. So take a look at it, see if it makes sense.
Sure.
You know, and when you do make a financial mistake, certainly not the best segue, but you've made a mistake, like my wife pointed out, I made a mistake not holding on to Bitcoin years ago. All right? What's important is to recognize, right, that everybody makes the mistakes. Don't get too hung up on it, right?
Of course not.
I can't imagine that anybody that's handled money for any period of time, I know there's a stat that, 20% of Americans or something say they have no regrets about any way they've ever handled money. And I'm like, really? I don't think you're looking hard enough, okay? I think everybody's made mistakes. Some people just don't like to acknowledge.
Right.
Right? I mean, some people say even if they're handing you a piece of crap, they want to say they're giving you gold, right? So take a look at it. You know, there's a lot of dishonest people out there too. So we all make mistakes. What's important is we move on from it, learn from it, move on from it, right? And so, you know, sometimes you can reverse a mistake, right? Let's say you convert to a Roth IRA. Let's say you do it here when the S&P 500 is at 6,000.
Okay.
And then let's say the market drops 30%. I hope it doesn't happen, okay? But if that happened, you could say, damn, I screwed up converting that Roth because I paid all the money on that tax when it's 30% higher.
Yeah.
You can recharacterize the Roth. You can reverse it. You recharacterize it. You put it back into the regular IRA, and you don't have to pay that, right? And then wait a while, and then you do it again, okay? But you can recharacterize it. So you can reverse it. You can kind of get a do-over, if you will, in terms of making that specific mistake.
Sure.
All right? So
is that a pretty common thing to recharacterize?
I don't think most people know about it.
Okay.
And so if you don't work with an advisor that's paying attention, you probably don't know about it.
All right, fair enough.
So, you know, the other issue is, you know, when we're trying to figure out, you know, how to avoid making mistakes, that's why I suggest sitting down and talking with an advisor, guys. There are studies out there that show that investors' returns using an advisor are 2-3% higher on an annual basis than those that do it alone.
Exactly. So what more do you need to know?
Well, that's,
I mean, you think 2-3% over 30 years, holy cow.
Oh, my God, it's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. You know?
You're talking making bank. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And guys, remember, there's no – okay, at least with me, I don't know. Maybe other advisors have contracts. But you can leave any time. If somebody comes on with me and they don't like how things are going, you can say, you know what, I'm leaving. And you, actually, you don't even have to say anything. You can just leave, okay? At any point in time, right? It's not like it's not like an annuity that you're in a contract for 10 years or 7 years or 5 years or 14 years.
Right.
You know, there's nothing like that. There are no surrender charges, right, if you decide you want to move. And you don't even have to sell your positions. If you're with an advisor that you want to get away from, all you need to do is transfer your account away from them. You don't have to sell anything. Just take them out of the equation, right? That's what I do all the time. All of my clients, all of them, they've all got money with other people before they come to me, because I mainly deal with people going into retirement. So they've already got the money in there. It's coming from somebody else. It's coming from a different advisor, or they're rolling their 401k from a workplace retirement plan. But that's what happens, right? And so the reason I talk about that I've got clients from the 1990s, and I've got a lot of clients that have been with me, you know, at least 10 years. I've still got my very first clients when I came to Arizona in 2011.
Sure.
And still with me. And I believe that's because they know that I truly care, and that I do my best as a fiduciary to give them objective advice. Just take a look. I've got a few reviews on my website. And take a look. But what I suggest is talking to some advisors and seeing what you're missing out on, perhaps. And maybe you'll find that you like the situation a lot more than you thought you would.
Sure. Well, and again, this statistic just baffles me. A Northwestern Mutual studies found 35% of Americans avoid thinking about financial planning altogether. That makes no sense.
No, but you know what? It is true. It is true.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate because you're really hurting yourself. That's who you're hurting, right?
Of course, yeah.
It doesn't hurt your future. It doesn't hurt your neighbor, right? You're hurting yourself by doing that. And I think that a lot of times, you know, what a lot of clients have told me is they a lot of them like that they can just kind of turn over the responsibility to me, and that they don't have to think about it. They say, well, I don't need. I mean, I had one woman say, why do I have to look at my statements? She said, why do I have to look at my account? I've got you to do that. I said, well, I do still think you should look at your account.
Yeah, right? Probably a good idea.
And I said, I just think it's generally a good idea to review your account. You know, she's like, well, that's what I've got you for. And that's 100% true story, by the way. And so, no, you certainly don't have to. That is what I do. I look at them every day. I look at my clients all the time, my clients' accounts all the time. I'm always looking at their accounts, trying to see of the numerous dozens and dozens and dozens of holdings they have, am I on top of everything? Because I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. I don't want my client to say they know something about a stock that I don't know. That'd be the most embarrassing thing that could happen to me. And so I feel obligated. I'm a news junkie. I watch this stuff 24/7. And if you don't want to do that, that might be a reason for you to talk to an advisor. A lot of people don't want to watch the news and watch the politics to figure out how they're going to interact and intersect with my investments every day. And so that is what a good advisor, in my view, should do. And it can take the responsibility off of your plate so you can focus on other things where you can be more productive. And that's how my clients that are doctors, that's what they tell me is, you know what, I don't have to think about it. I can think about my practice and building my practice, and I know you can handle my money. And I think that's a good situation for a lot of folks.
Sure. And again, as we look at all of this and talking about mistakes and just not letting a mistake, you know, be the, you know, end everything for you, you know, it's just important to think about and to make sure that you have a plan.
And the plan doesn't have to be some super fancy, you know, 50-page, you know, report, right? It could be a simple. I'll tell you what, a lot of clients, they really like a short plan. They love it if I can give them a 2-page plan. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. You know, but it doesn't have to be overly complicated, right? And really what it comes down to, and we've talked about many times, one of the first things, as you're getting close to retirement, even if you've never talked to an advisor, you know, and now you're in your mid-50s, that's fine. That's fine, all right? What you want to do is sit down with an advisor, I recommend 5 years before your retirement, so that we can see if there's anything that we can put in place now that's going to help you more by the time you get to retirement. So you don't want to necessarily wait until you're knocking on that door, right? You want to go to an advisor, have those conversations ahead of time, you know, so you can have things structured ahead of time that's going to put you in the best possible position when you get to that point. because one of the things we've talked about is sequence risk. If you have all your money in the stock market and it crashes right before you retire, that will be devastating. You don't want to, trust me, you do not want to go through that. And that's something an advisor can help you with. We can help you with putting in hedges or protecting some of the money in any number of ways so that you don't have to take a massive financial hit right before you want to retire and get that golden watch, right?
That's right.
You know, so
like that so, happens.
Yeah, right, like that. Yeah, I don't know how many. I don't even know how many people wear a watch anymore. So, I think they just wear them as jewelry. I don't believe they're not wearing them for tracking time, right?
That's absolutely correct. Yes, I know advisors, they like their watches.
Yeah, they do. They do. You know what? I've become so concerned. This might sound crazy, but I've become so concerned with crime and criminality that I really don't want people thinking I have any money. I just rather have them think I'm poor.
I think that's smart.
You know what? That's right. I wear old clothes. I drive an old car, and I don't wear any jewelry, and I don't want to be a target. So that's my approach. But
well, it's worked so far.
You know what? It's worked so far for me. And you know what? You know, I remember there was a story when we were young, when I was a young broker, and my manager was talking about how, you know, there's some people when they get a little bit of money, they have a little bit of success. They want to brag to everybody, right? They want to brag to everybody. But you know what? If you're the toughest guy in the room, if you're the strongest guy in the room, you already know that. You don't have to go proving it to anybody or showing it to anybody. And he gave us the example of like a can. He's like, you got a bum that's got a can with a few coins in it. You shake it around, it makes all this noise, right? He goes, I don't want that can. I want the can that's so full of coins that when you shake it, it's quiet. Because it's loaded, solid, makes no noise. I want the full can, right? And that's what I'm saying is the wealth that I achieve is between me and my wife. I don't need any strangers knowing about it.
Right.
And I think it only leads to trouble. so just a thought, guys. You know, I think I was talking about watches and it made me think about a guy that had I read a story about a guy who had the expensive Rolex watch until some mugger saw it. And they jumped him, they beat the crap out of him, and they stole his watch. So anyway, that's why I don't wear watches anymore.
Well, again, I think that what's the takeaway from today? I mean, this was a great session.
You know what? I think the takeaway for me is to recognize that sometimes the government might not do exactly the things that you want them to do, but if we take actions that are informed, then we can still build our portfolios and still make money from what's happening in the world. But sometimes you have to be open to different possibilities. And there's a lot of people I've talked to where I suggest gold. And they say, you know what? I've never invested in gold. I said, well, you know, maybe you should take a look at it, right? And that's what I'm saying. Give some consideration to gold. Give some consideration to Bitcoin. Talk to your advisor or analyze the situation for yourself to see if it's appropriate. I'm not suggesting a huge investment, but I think it might make sense for a lot of people to have maybe 5 or 10 grand in it. You know, money that you can afford to lose, that you can put away for the next 5 years. Just give it a chance, because I think if the government keeps on borrowing money like they've been doing for decades. Bill Clinton was the last one to balance the budget, right?
Yes.
I think it's a good bet they're going to keep doing that, and therefore I think Bitcoin is going to be more and more attractive, and I think a lot of investors are going to buy more gold too.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation. 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.